Es muy interesante que, oh, sorry. You know, it's very interesting that when God created the earth, he did not seek any advice from the angels or call a committee and said, hey, you know, let's vote and see how we're going to do this thing, you know. And he simply spoke. And his words were so full of life, so powerful, so undeniable that everything came into being immediately. You know, and the devil was hanging out. And he didn't make a major revision to God's warning about the forbidden fruit. He just rearranged the word not. And he said, you shall not eat, or you shall surely die. That's what God said. But the devil said, you shall eat, and you surely shall not die. So basically, he just took the word not and switched it around just a little bit and made a huge difference. And after this, Genesis 3:9, after Adam and Eve sin, they run away from God. They hide from God. And God comes to them in verse 9, chapter 3, and he says, where are you? That was it. And that's what I'm asking you today. And it's the title of my sermon. Where are you? Where are you this morning? You know, in Psalm 19, verse 7, it says, the law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The decrees of the Lord are firm, and all of them are righteous. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They're sweeter than honey from the honeycomb. By them your servant is warned. In keeping them, there is a great reward. You know, the Bible is awesome. And I'm here to celebrate in Miami the Bible. Because the Bible tells you where you are. The very words of our God. You know, I was recently studying out one of these passages, and I was looking at Romans 10. It's very interesting. And Paul here says in verse 1, brothers and sisters, my heart's desire and prayer to God for the Israelites is that they may be saved. For I can testify about them that they are zealous for God, but their zeal is not based on knowledge. Since they did not know the righteousness of God and sought to establish their own, they did not submit to God's righteousness. So this is, I'm thinking about this, and Paul's sharing about his kinsmen, the Jewish people. He says, my heart's desire and prayer is to God. Please, please let them be saved. What struck me here is that it's possible to have a zeal for God and be lost. A zeal for God and to be perishing. My heart's desire is that they're saved. So they're not saved? Why? But they have a zeal for God. The fact is, they're the chosen Jewish people. But he prays that they would be saved. See, then he goes ahead and answers it and says, wait a second. True knowledge is necessary for salvation. They have the zeal, but are not rooted in knowledge. So see, zeal is important. I'm not saying, hey, don't be zealous. And you have a zealous church here. I'll say that right now, okay? I mean, I really love being here with you. I am so impressed by you. I am so moved by you. And I love it. It's all nationalities here. I just think this is awesome. I'm so grateful to Matt and Helen and the work they've done here. I'm not going to mention a bunch of names because I'll forget some, and then you're going to get an attitude, then I'm going to walk out, say, see, Carlos doesn't love me. So please, I'm just not going to do it, okay? Even though I want to, and I thought, well, I should. No, I said, I'm not going to do it. But I will mention Matt and Helen. You know, Matt started discipling me. And, you know, Matt's a little different than I. He's taller. He's wider. Has more hair than I do. That's true. I mean, I don't know who's better looking, but that's a whole, we were both models at some point in our lives. I don't know. I think when we were babies or something, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, I really love Matt. I when I met him, I just didn't know anything about him. I just knew there's a white guy going to disciple me. I said, I got to pray to the Lord. No, and I'm not being racial, but he's truly, truly is white. And I am, we started a relationship, just, you know, discipling. And honestly, I'll never forget one time we were at this restaurant. I got to share this story. I mean, it was so cool. Matt got a little nervous because there was a celebrity sitting. I said, Matt, you want to meet him? Bro, no, bro. I said, Matt, it's okay. No, bro. And so he didn't get to meet one of his favorite celebrities. But I learned something about Matt that day. He gets nervous around celebrities. So, no, he's definitely not nervous around me, that's for sure. No. But it was so cool because, you know, Matt's always just a real guy. I don't know anyone in the whole church that's like him, one of the leaders. He's just real. He's nervous, he's mad, he's happy. I just know where he's at all the time. I never have to guess. I never have to think, thank God. I never have to, you know, I just look at him, you know, and I go, okay, he's not happy with something. And he has talked so much about you. How awesome this church is. How much he's fallen in love with you. And I think that is an incredible man of God. And you know, I love you so much, and I thank you so much for having us both here. And it's just like Paul, you know, Paul, he always told you where he was at. He's like, those guys need to be saved. Yeah, they're my people, but they have zeal, but you know what? They don't have the knowledge. And today I hope you get some knowledge, some biblical knowledge, so you can make a decision. So when God asks you, where are you? You will be able to answer him. Because sometimes we don't have an answer. We don't know what to say. You know, I was a little nervous coming up here today, just because I'm getting so used to preaching in Spanish now every week that I thought, man, I gotta do it in English. But English is my heart language, and it's just awesome to be here with you. So I have 3 points for you. Who are you? Is point number one. You know, to figure out who you are, you gotta go into your past and see what God has done or what he has made you to be here today or what sin you have fallen into that has affected your life. Yeah. Today, you know, I'm an immigrant. My mom moved me to the U.S. Let me back up. My mom moved me to the U.S., but not for the American dream. She was trying to get away from El Salvador in 1970. There was a civil war that was about to break out. She's like, we got to get out of here. So I don't have that American. I didn't never had the American dream because it wasn't put into my heart. I just thought, I'm here. I don't know where I'm at, but I'm here, you know, kind of deal. In 1961, the right-wing National Conciliation Party comes to power in El Salvador after a military coup. In 1969, El Salvador attacks and fights a brief war with Honduras, following the eviction of thousands of Salvadoran illegal immigrants from Honduras. In 1970, I'm born, which means nothing, but I'm born. Amen? In 1977, guerrilla activists by the left-wing Farabundo Martí Nacional Liberación Front, FMLN, intensifies and reports of increased human rights violations by government troops and death squads. General Carlos Romero was elected president. So in 1975, my mom says, you know what, we gotta get out of here. So my mom is like she's a pocket mom, you know what I'm saying? Just put her right here and just like, that's my pocket mom, you know what I mean? She's so little, you know? And so she's up to here, and she says, you know, we got to get out of here. You know, we got to, you know, of course, I'm five. I don't understand anything she's saying. My mom left me when I was one in El Salvador with my grandma and my uncle because of needing to come to somewhere else to make money. And she comes back to get me in 75. And all of a sudden, she brings somebody else with her. It's a little sister. I'm thinking, who is that? That's your sister. That's not my sister. That's your sister. Yes. Now I know she's my sister. She's a disciple in L.A., and her husband are shepherds there in Ventura region, which is awesome. And it's amazing. So we come, and you got to understand something. My sister was born in the U.S., so she's a U.S. citizen, but we have to cross illegally. So we're crossing, and we're running, and we swam. Everything you've heard is true. Because some of you cannot connect with being an immigrant. You really can't. Because you live here, and you take it for granted. You go, look, I'm here. And you just live it all the time, and you go, oh, I hate the States, and you get mad at it. For what? Come on, bro. This is such an incredible place that you have. And so we have to come, we're crossing the border, and my mom was getting super weary, super tired, because she was running, and some guy comes to her, let me help you with your kid. He picks me up, keeps going, puts me back down, and then he disappears, and she never saw him again. Wow. So I know God wanted me in the States. Moved to the States, and on top of that, we get arrested. We're in jail for about a month. My mom, my American sister, and me. And it was horrible. Then we finally make it through after trying three times. We're finally in Los Angeles. And I grew up there. I moved there in 75, but it was so cool because in 1993, something amazing happened. I became a disciple. And February 6th at 9:30 in the morning, I was baptized as a true disciple of Jesus. And we pick up in Genesis 3, verse 10, after God had asked Adam, where are you? In verse 10, he says, he answered, I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid. And he said, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from? See, at that moment, Adam was figuring out who he was. Adam started to figure out, wow, who am I? I am the Son of God. I mean, I was made in his image, but now what happened to me? I sinned. And God says, who told you that you were naked? Because before that, he could not see that. Because he was completely pure hearted. And he says, have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from? See, a lot of us, we go through life and we really don't know who we are. You know, and that's tough. Because in the world, everybody wants to know who they are. They go to the gurus and go, hey, can you tell me who I am? You go to your parents, hey, can you tell me who I am? You're always trying to find it, but it's here in the Bible. Because see, God knows who you are. I'll tell you why he knows who you are. Because he made you. It's very simple. None of these gurus made you. They have no clue who you are. As a matter of fact, you don't even know who you are. You think Adam knew who he was? No. Man, Adam was living the life. It was so perfect. He was like, yeah, man, what's up? He had a six-pack like every day. I mean, you know, the guy was good looking every day. He never had to do anything. He just got up and, wow. I'm going to go eat 10 cheeseburgers and not gain a pound. I mean, Adam was living the life. All the animals, they're like, hey, how you doing, man? You know, I think I'm gonna name that guy Giraffe. That's kind of cool, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's a weird name, but I like it because I'm fired up, you know? I mean, Adam was just living that, but he didn't know who he was. He didn't understand that he was made in God's image. See, we don't understand that right now. We get so disconnected from that we think we're made in something else's image. That we think we're made. Oh, the school I graduated from. Look, here's my degree. That's the image. That's who I really am. No, that doesn't make you who you are. Just be grateful you got something, but does not make you any better than anybody else in this room. You know, and it's interesting that Adam, he lived the perfect life. He was just hanging out, chilling all the time, you know, going to Starbucks, getting his coffee, and just coming back home and chilling some more. You know what I'm saying? He was just chilling. But he worked hard. But he had fun doing it. You know, we don't have fun working, do we? We don't have fun going to school and learning nowadays. You know, it's like, yeah, I have to go to school. We live such stressed lives. Everything is stressful. Everything is so hard. It's like, oh, why is it? You know, when I became a Christian, I thought, you know what? The only people that become Christians are losers. That's what I thought. Because I'm not a loser. I was wearing $2,000 suits made in France, so I was not a loser. My shirts were all custom made with my initials on it, CDM. Yep. I mean, I was hot. You know, I was like, man, no. But then I figured out who I was. I'm not hot. I'm just a loser, too. I'm like a loser. Yes, finally. Because Jesus, God told me, who told you that you were naked? See, God confronted me with my sin. Said, who told you that? It made me realize, gosh, I'm nothing. I'm really nothing. He says, well, you know what? You need to be a disciple. A disciple. I don't want to be a disciple. I want to be by myself. I want to be me. I want to make money. My whole life was about making money. When I became a disciple, I had thousands of books on how to make money. And I'll never forget, I was 22 years old, and you know how young brothers are. This 20-year-old comes up to me and he goes, bro, you need to be righteous. I said, bro, I'm 22. You're only 20, bro. I'm so ahead of you. Oh, and he said, no, bro, listen to me. You need to get rid of all the books on money to show God how much you love him. And I said, have you lost your mind? Do you know how much money I spent on buying all these things? No. He said, well, bro, then you're not going to be a true disciple. Because you got to love God. See right here. Who told you you were naked? Who told you had all these books? Who told you that all these books meant something? Satan. That's what Satan did. He told me they meant something. So I said, okay. I better do it. And so I got my, you know, those black bags, those trash bags, packed it all up. And I started crying. So I'm breaking up with a girlfriend, you know, it's like, because that was my girlfriend at the time, making money. You don't have to owe me. It's okay. I made money. Don't worry about it. Now, my heart was hard, but I made money. So I went and threw away the books. I remember the trash. I opened the trash. I put them in there, and I coming back. And I stood there, looking at the bookshelf, and thought, "How am I going to make money now? I don't know how to make money anymore. I just threw away all my books." But then the Bible was there on the counter, and I thought, "Who am I really? What have I become? Like, who told you that all this was going to make you? Who told you that money makes you better?" Who told you that money makes you powerful? Who told you all this garbage? Because God said, no, wait a second. Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to? See, he was telling me to follow his commands, but I wanted to do something else. So you got to figure out who you are. And the only way you're going to do it is by looking at your past and letting God help you and living in the present and allowing God to let you live. And it's amazing now. I've been a disciple 25 years. Honestly, I can't even believe it. I mean, the first 2 years, I wanted to fall away every single day. Have you ever gone through that, some of you? I mean, every day I was like, okay, that's it. I'm falling away. Today, that's it. My last day with Jesus. I mean, one day I even packed. I'm not kidding you. This brother, the evangelist at the time, he says, you'll never be an evangelist in God's kingdom. Never. So I said, really? Now you can say, aw. This is an aw moment.
Thank you.
So I went home just crying. I went home. Oh, I'm never going to be an evangelist. So I start packing my bag. That's it. I'm going to go somewhere where I will be an evangelist. And then I started thinking, wait, he's not God. So I started unpacking. And I said, amen. Thank God that he's not God. And I said, oh, yes. Amen. And you know what? You've got to thank God that our leaders are not God. That would be very scary. So stop blaming us for trying to control your lives, because we're not. Okay? I promise you, I can barely control my own life. I'm like trying to get up, and I'm like, amen, brother. And that same brother that told me I would not be an evangelist appointed me an evangelist. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And I was up there going, yeah, baby, that's right, that's right. You know, you ever wanted to do that, you know? That day I wanted to do that, you know? And I said, brother, you're appointing me an evangelist, you know? And that was in the year 2000. Which brings me to point number two. What are you? So Genesis 3 verse 12, it says, the man said, the woman you put here with me, she gave me the fruit from the tree, and I ate it. Then the Lord God said to the woman, what is this you have done? This is the first time that God spoke to the woman. First time. So what have you done? See, a lot of times, finding out what we're made of will only be under pressure. That's the only time you're going to find out what you're really made out of. You know, I think about this. You know, when you think of the do's and don'ts of the Bible, that's why a lot of you don't want to become Christians. Oh, there's too many do's and don'ts. Trust me, I hate rules. I did not become a Christian to be full of rules. As a matter of fact, there's so much freedom in following Christ that it's scary. I mean, because when you're in the world, you're in a prison of alcohol, a prison of whatever you want it to be. When you come to Christ, you're like, you can do whatever you want. What? Do it. But you're not going to be with me. I mean, that's what God said. So it's like, okay, I don't want to do that. See, it's not about controlling you. It's about what's in your heart. What are you made of? See, so I think of some of the do's and don'ts in the Bible, and I'm guessing that some of these come to your mind. Do not lie. Do not steal. Love your enemies. Do not murder. Do not do unto others as you have done to you. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. Right? Have you thought of, I know you thought of those rules. And all these are certainly biblical. And they apply today, but surprisingly, none of these are repeated with that much frequency in the Bible. And certainly, none of them come close to the repetition of the most popular command in the Bible. You ready for it? Yeah. I want to hear a drum roll. The command, do not be afraid. That's right. Do not be afraid appears in the Bible as a command more than 70 times. This doesn't include variances, fear not, do not fear, and the like, okay? Now, there's several interesting things about this. First of all, the Bible isn't saying that there's nothing scary, so you don't need to be scared. But let's be real. Some of you get scared when somebody taps on your back. Hey, oh, sorry. Whoa, sorry. That, however, does not mean we need to be scared of it. Secondly, the command to not be afraid more often than not is followed by an action that God is willing for us to take. Okay? Here are a few examples. Exodus 14:13. Just write these down. Exodus 14:13 says, do not be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance of the Lord will bring you today. Deuteronomy 3:22. Wow, I said that. I said Deuteronomy, because in Spanish I have such a hard time saying it. Whew. Deuteronomy 3:20 says, do not be afraid of them. The Lord your God himself will fight for you. Joshua 10:8, do not be afraid of them. I have given them into your hand. Not one of them will be able to withstand you. Luke 12:32, do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Another interesting thing about do not be afraid, that 10 times in the NIV, it's followed by do not be discouraged. Have you ever stopped to consider that being afraid and being discouraged are related? You know, after all, the opposite of discourage is encourage. And encourage means to be filled with what? Courage. Why should we be filled with courage? Because as disciples, the Lord is with us and in us. And he who is greater in us is greater than he who is in the world. You know, finally, notice that do not be afraid is not a suggestion. God doesn't say, if you don't want to be afraid, that's an option. Nope. Be afraid or don't. It's up to you. But it is a command. You know, it's amazing. When we got to Mexico, first of all, a long time ago, I was a young disciple that wanted to fall away every day for the first 2 years of my walk. I think my third year or fourth, I don't remember. We were in a Bible talk. And this brother had this phenomenal idea. So you can take notes for your Bible talk. And he had a map of the whole world. And it was interesting because we were supposed to fill out in color any part of the world that we wanted. And I filled out Chile. I colored it. And I found it a couple years ago, this sheet. And I said, who did this? It says Carlos and me. Oh, I did this. Okay, and I thought, wow, it would be great to be in Chile one day. But even though I didn't want to go there. But I don't know why. And all of a sudden, I was in Chile. I never wanted to be in Mexico. Partly because when I was a young Christian, there was an event, and this is the old movement, there was an event in Mexico City. And I remember I was up in all this sin. And the brother comes up to me, and I was the one to go to Mexico City for the event and get all the training. And I remember he said, brother, you cannot go to Mexico. This is like 2 days before. And I said, why? Because you're a sinner. But you are too. He said, no, wait, bro. Yes, I am. But your sin is not allowing you to go to this. And so they picked Jose Otero. And you know, I was like, that brother. Can't believe they picked Jose Otero to go. You know who Jose Otero is. He's a Boricua. He leads in Monterrey. And I remember he went, and that whole weekend was horrible for me. Because I thought, oh man, I have to stay. And he left, and I just can't believe it. And so I wasn't picked. And now I'm in Mexico City. And I just don't understand how God works. I really don't. I can't, you know what? If any preacher tells you that they understand how God works, run. It's like, I'm out, man. Because we really do not. Honestly, we don't. It's so funny. People come to us, bro, I need advice. I'm like, right? All right, what do you need, bro? What do you need? Bro, this and that. I go, open your Bible, bro. Because I don't know what to tell you. I have no idea what to tell you, bro. But you know, we got to look like we know what we're talking about, because you believe that we're preachers. Yes, we were appointed to be evangelists. I know that for a fact. But at the end of the day, we really don't know like what God's going to do, because sometimes we get afraid. Yeah. And the Bible calls us not to be afraid. You know how scary it is to move to a third world country and there's only 8 disciples there? And you get there and you go, amen. And you got to look like you're strong, courageous, fired up. You're willing to do anything for everything. Inside you're going, oh man, I don't know, bro. Please take me back. You know what I'm saying? But then now the church has over 226 disciples. You know, we have an incredible, incredible teen ministry that's almost 30. And it's so awesome because every Saturday they get together for their Devo. And Miguel and Myrna are doing such a fantastic job. I mean, they're just amazing. Renelle, she was in D.C. with us, she's doing fantastic. I mean, they're incredible disciples. And I only have like 7 more minutes because Matt's looking at his watch. And I'm looking at him, and then he gave me the look. You know, that's how we talk to each other. And then Helen's just like looking at me. So I don't even want to look at Marcus because he just... trying to copy me with his bald head. I know he is. I know Marcus wants to be like me. I know it. It's okay. It's okay, dude. It's all right. Do not be afraid. It's okay. So think about this. What are you? What are you made of? What are you made out of, Miami? I mean, you're an inspiration to me in Mexico. I hear all the stuff that's happening, but this is temporary. I mean, now what? You know, it's so funny. You get somewhere, you go, but now what? We did 15, but now what? What are you really made of? Are you afraid? Well, the Bible commands you not to be afraid. What are you made of? Money, looks, ambition? Are you just a mean person? You know, Proverbs 24:10, one of my most awesome favorite scriptures in the Bible, simply says, if you falter in a time of trouble, how small is your strength? I love that passage. It really kicks my butt. Oh, I'm faltering right now. You know what I'm saying? Are you ready to leave everything and go to the third world? Don't just say those missionaries. How about you be a missionary one day? You know, it'd be awesome. You know, I remember when I had my Porsche. That was awesome. I would press a button. The top would come down. I pushed the button again just to put it back up. You know what I'm saying? Just I wanted to watch it go up and down. I was like, yeah, this is awesome. This is cool. You know, and I know a lot of the Latinos that move here were super ambitious. You know, I'm still ambitious. Yeah. I have not stopped being ambitious ever. I don't know how to get rid of it. Because the Bible does talk about righteous ambition, but it's for Christ. You know, you got to be hungry for Christ. You got to be hungry to do his will. You got to be hungry. Oh, man, I'm hungry. And so all my worldly ambition, I said, you know what? I'm going to do it for God. Because that brother that told me I'm never going to be an evangelist, he wasn't God. So I'm going to do it for God. I'm not going to do it for man. And you know what? I, if you all know, I come from the old movement. I was, like I said, I was baptized in 93. And then Lucy and I were put into ministry. We got married in 98 in April. And as soon as we get back, the brother goes, hey, we want to put you on staff. We want to train you to be an evangelist. Come on, man. You got the wrong person. You serious, right? And yes, Lucy and I have had phenomenal careers in my wife in the music industry, and I was a producer. I got to work with pretty awesome people, celebrities that I got to produce their shows and stuff. And it was fun, but we let all that go and went into the ministry. And then we were broke poor. You remember that? It's just like, and you know what? We're still broke. And that was not my ambition, though. You see what I'm saying? But I had to figure out, what am I made of when the call comes? You're like, my son was talking to me. He goes, all right, if I do all this, do I have to be an evangelist? I said, absolutely not. This is a calling. This is serious. This is no joke, dude. This is my son. I got to call him dude, you know. Got to be relatable, you know. And I said, listen, dude, getting called to be an evangelist is no joke. He's like, all right, Dad, I just want to be a disciple. I said, well, be the most awesome disciple you can be. He says, you know, that fires me up. I said, yeah, but then God's going to call you in the ministry. Do they keep going? See, so some of us are afraid to give our all because then you might be called. You know what? Maybe your calling is just to give it all here. I don't know. See, I don't understand God, you know. I really don't. I mean, I wasn't supposed to be here this weekend. But then God wanted me to be here no matter what. And I'm here. I'm thinking, God, you are, I don't get you. But you know what? I don't want to get you. I just want to make it to heaven. Amen. Which brings me to the third point. When are you? That's it. When are you? Genesis 3 verse 20 says, Adam named his wife Eve because she would become the mother of all the living. The Lord made garments for skin for Adam and his wife and clothed them. Now, you might say, oh, this is so simple. No, it's not. This is a very challenging passage of the whole thing. Genesis 3 is it's very challenging if you really examine it. You know, when are you going to have enough of the world? Wow. When are you going to have enough to drugs, to alcohol, to compromising life? When is enough going to be enough for you? You know, when are you going to study the Bible? When are you going to say, you know what, I just got to get close to God? Is it scary? Yes, but the Bible says don't be afraid. See, the Bible has an answer for everything. Whatever you say, the Bible has an answer for it. We just got to find it. There is no question. Everything will be answered. But you say, well, is that possible? Yeah. But think about this, okay? What if it isn't answered? What are you going to do? You know, sometimes disciples, we just want the answers today or otherwise. You know what? You might not get an answer till you die. Until you're right in front of God and say, God, I want to ask you what happened in 1994 when I was in that Bible talk that I didn't want to be in and you put me in there with that brother that I didn't like. Tell me why'd you put me there? Like, I don't get it. And God's going to say, because I wanted to. And you're going to say, well, let me in heaven, baby. You know what I'm saying? I just let me in, you know. I'm here, you know. I don't want to go back. You know what I'm saying? I want to be here. See, Miami, you're an inspiration. You really are. I look around and I said, wow, this is so, I mean, the joy in here. I'll mention one brother's name, Adrian. You know, I just, bro, okay, sorry, bro. One. I love Adrian, the way he sings. He's like, ah. And then he comes up here and he's like, you ever feel like you have an emotional day? And I'm thinking, I thought about that because I thought, that's every day for me. I'm always emotional, you know what I mean? And I thought, yeah, and Casey's like, oh my gosh, Carlos is in trouble and we're going to lunch with them after this. You know, it's trouble. No, Adrian still loves me, I think. But he's up here, going, yeah, very emotional day. And he's, you know, just talking to the mic and just singing. I'm thinking, this is a passionate brother right here. You know, when I met Adrian, he didn't want to come up and sing. I remember those days where he was just like, I'm not singing, I'm not doing anything. I'm just here, I'm a disciple. I'm like, Wait a couple years, I'll see you up there, baby. And then the other day, they were selling these CDs, remember, a couple years ago, I think it was. And I put it in the car, and I'm singing along. Yeah, oh, this is Adrian, so cool, this is Adrian. And then he starts laughing at one of the CDs. I'm thinking, is he laughing at one of the songs? I think, wow, this is so cool, you know? It's so good to see somebody who says, this is who I am in front of God. I am God's servant. And no matter what, I'm going to do it. And I just appreciate Adrian. Beautiful voice. But beyond that, beautiful heart. And I just appreciate all you do, Adrian. You can clap for him. That's it, this church. I was trying to lift you up. You didn't even clap for the guy. Man, now I'm hurting again. I came in here all fired up. Yeah, I'm so emotional. Casey's covering her mouth again. Like, oh my gosh, you said it. Yeah, you know, one of the things you'll find out about me, I'm not afraid to say anything or everything. I'm really not. I get in trouble a lot, but I'm not really afraid. So at the end of the day, guys, this is what I need from you, okay? I really need this. Because we're in Mexico, and sometimes it gets hard. And you know, I do thank you for all the missions that you give, because it actually does help us, okay? But beyond that, I need you to continue to be an inspiration for us. And I want to go back and tell stories about you. I want to go back and tell them what I saw on Sunday service. As a matter of fact, I just want to videotape you a second here. And I want to see a zealous Miami. All right. Wow. Now let me give you some knowledge. Remember? Yeah. I just really want to tell you how much I love God, just me personally, and how much I love the kingdom and love all of you and all the works that you do. It's just amazing. And you got to ask yourself today, if you're visiting with us, you need to study the Bible today. Yeah. And the person that invited you is probably going to be afraid to ask you because they're intimidated by you. I'm not intimidated by you. Study the Bible today. Okay. And you know, if you've been studying the Bible, you keep running from God, stop running. okay? Because you need to find out who you are. Basically, you're just running from finding out who you are. That's just, we all know that. We see you, and then every other 3 months you come back and we're like, oh, there he is. I knew it. You know what I mean? We get fired up. But we know. We're not dumb because we have the Bible. Without the Bible, we're dumb. Yeah. Trust me, okay? So who are you? Who are you today? Exactly where we started from, but the Lord God called to the man and said, where are you? Where are you today? Where's your relationship with God? You know who you are? You need to find out and let God tell you who you are. What you're made of? Become a disciple and find out. Because now my thoughts have changed. Losers don't become disciples. Winners become disciples. It doesn't matter where you come from, but you're a winner if you love God. The where is here and right now, and the how, God will let you know with this answer. Where are you? Thank you.